Welcome to Pretend I Know Nothing About. I'm Katie White, your host, administrator of COAAA. On today's episode, we will learn about COAAA University and how it is supporting a confident, competent, compassionate, and connected workforce at our agency. Let's get into it. Welcome. Thank you for being here. We have Erica Drury, Director of Client Services, and Carrie Oswald, Clinical Operations Analyst with us today. And we are going to be talking about COAAA University. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
It's exciting to be here.
It is exciting to be here. So the beginning, we always like to kick off and just give us a little bit of information about yourself. So Erica, how did you get here? What was your past? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
My past.
Professional past, yeah, okay. Only, please.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking, I think in April I'll have been here at COAAA for 8 years.
Congrats.
I get a little murky on that sometimes, but it's going to be 8 years. But I feel like I've been part of COAAA for decades because I got to work so closely with everyone here, particularly when I was running adult daycare. So I do like to think of myself generally as sort of a medical social worker. That was a lot of my career background, children's hospital, hospice, all that good stuff, and ended up spending 17 years running adult day, which is just one of my best memories. But that's when I really got to start to work with COAAA and worked really closely with folks here, not just as a provider, but we ran a few projects together. So anyway, 8 years officially here.
That's great. And when you were running adult day, were you a Title III funding?
Yes, we were.
Okay. So we've got episodes on the area plan. We have episodes on Title III. So tune into those if you want to know more. But adult day was one of the top services, not so much anymore. But
absolutely. All those funding sources were so important to keep services going for clients. It worked out beautifully.
Definitely. And in your role as Director of Client Services, what do you oversee?
So I oversee the ongoing case management that we do for Medicaid, so Passport, and then the MyCare programs, and then also the case management we do for Senior Options.
Great. Thank you. Carrie, how about you?
Hi. So I came 10 years ago in April. So I always like to say that I was at a NASW mixer and I met Sarah Hall.
Okay.
And Sarah said, hey, you should come work at COAAA. And I did. And at that time, I actually had not considered working with older adults seriously. And so this whole new world was opened up to me. I started 2 months before my care hit. So I had an experience of seeing the agency for a little bit before my care, experiencing the expansion. And in that 10 years, I've worked at Passport and Molina, Ohio Home Care Waiver, and I've had different roles in all of those jobs. And now I'm the Clinical Operations Analyst, which is really just that I'm kind of helping with special projects and data crunching and kind of like a manager without a team. I can pop in and help and make sure that we kind of execute some of our special projects.
That's great. Not only special projects, but making sure that we are making decisions based on evidence and taking the time to step back and review things. All those like effective and efficiency things that we wish we could do, and now we can do because you're with us.
Yeah.
And before COAAA, you were doing what?
I was doing community mental health.
Okay.
So yeah, with kids and families, school-based and home-based therapy, and I did a little bit of private practice therapy as well. So, and I always say I felt a little lonely in that role, and I was looking for a team-based environment. And when I came here, I just immediately felt at home, and that's what's kept me here for so long.
That's great. Well, thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of journeys for social workers in Central Ohio at some point, at least end up here. Maybe you pass through here, but COAAA is really that central point for medical social work, for people wanting to be community-based, for people that want to do outreach, that want to do, you know, work in the hospitals with our care transition team. We kind of do it all here. So, okay. Speaking of doing it all and all types of social workers and clinicians, today we're going to talk about COAAA University. So, Erica, why don't you give me sort of where did this idea come from and what is it?
Well, COAAA University is almost kind of like a little dream come true because we had been dreaming about it for probably a good 3 years, through the COVID years. And it grew out of the clinical best practices that we've established and developed here over many years. And we typically would train on those. And there is a manual out there that's saved that explains, for instance, I was just looking at it for a training I'm going to do. You know, if you had a caller call in and they were suicidal, if you had someone come in or you were working with someone whose caregiver all of a sudden could no longer take care of them, what are the best practices to address those issues? Well, what we started to realize was there's just core elements of good clinical work that would carry you through all of those situations. You don't need to memorize and know the exact steps that are listed on those clinical protocols. You might want to reference them later to sort of see, did I check all the boxes? But if you knew how to really assess a situation well, if you knew how to navigate crises well, that you would be ready for almost anything that our staff might encounter, any of our client-facing staff, that is, so anyone who's working with people in the public.
And so as COAAA has evolved over time and the various areas we're in, whether it's screening, assessment, case management, we work with so many populations and interact with so many various potential challenges that this helps train those core fundamental pieces that no matter where you are, you need to have with you. Is that right?
Absolutely. Exactly what the goal is.
Okay, got it. So, Carrie, tell us, how does an idea or a dream become real? What are the steps? What have you guys been doing?
We've been doing so much. So in order to make this become real, we formed a committee with Erica and I, Lynn Dobb and Tim Duggan. And we really just started saying, okay, what are all of the topics that we would want to train on, pulling from our clinical protocols and best practices manual. And then from there, just doing a lot of brainstorming and different chart making and really kind of funneling that down and say, these are the core issues we want to train on. And now we have to engage our internal stakeholders who are our managers in this position and our supervisors and really get them to understand the goal, which they're totally on board with, I think, as well. So it has been a lot of planning and planning again, and changing the plan, and developing curriculum and onboarding trainers. So it's been really cool and a lot of work from us, I think. Not shy away from that. It's been a big lift.
I'm going to shout out Carrie, because without Carrie as our general in this project, we probably wouldn't have been able to finally kind of land this. And it's, like I said, been talked about for years. Most of the managers were involved in the conversation. We certainly surveyed supervisors as we were building it. But it was Carrie's organization and planning and kind of keeping us on track that got us to the point where we were finally able, ready to launch the first class for COAAAU.
So launching the first class, Carrie, tell me what that means. How do you select who's in it? How long are you in it? What's the framework?
Yeah, so right now we are looking at any client-facing roles starting within their first 4 months. So they'll, for their first 4 months, they're doing their regular training, and then at the fourth month, we kind of bring them into the cohort. Our current cohort is 16 people, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, and we will meet over 6 months' time, 10 different sessions. And throughout that, we're hitting every one of our topics, which are crisis management, medical acuity, documentation, assessment, the professional self, and cultural humility.
Wow.
So, yeah, so we're hitting all of those main topics and really including a lot of interaction and discussion. One of the things that we love about this concept is that just because you're new to COAAA does not in any way mean that you're new to the profession. We're bringing people from all different lived experiences, professional experiences, and we know that and we love that. And so some folks might be encountering this material for the first time, but for many others, they are experts in it. So in this group of 16, they're sharing, they're learning from each other. And that's really another goal of the university, is that we are bridging all of our programs mm-hmm. and saying, yeah, you work with Melina, you're in assessment, but when you walk in these doors, you are part of us. We are COAAA, the clinical excellence that is us as an agency. And so you're building relationships and building that shared knowledge. And that just gets me so excited because that's the really the heart of it, is that we know the staff are great. That's why they're here.
Right.
We just want them to all feel like they're a part of our big family and team.
Mm-hmm. And I love that language. And I feel like I've been sitting in that space a lot and thinking about, we are COAAA first and foremost. And who are we as COAAA? We know that we're a great place to work. We think we are. We know that we are great clinicians and that we have this exchange of ideas and learning that's constant. And so, yes, we're COAAA first. And no matter what our contracts look like or the external environment, we know who we are and that we are providing the great service in the community. So right now, it's just new individuals coming in because we're just piloting it. Will that be moving into, say, someone that's been here a year or two but wants to go through COAAA University, or is it meant only for new employees?
We actually did think initially that we would be able to invite folks who felt like they needed to refresh themselves on, you know, certain best practices. And I still think that that's a possibility. I now see COAAA University as the beginning or at its foundation, and that over time it'll grow. So mm-hmm. maybe right now we're kind of in the 101 courses, and then we'll get to the 200 level courses and 300. I kind of want to see it become the umbrella for internal staff training.
And there's a lot of training that goes on. And then there's also a lot of, I would say, interest and hunger for new training. So a topic that we've been talking about recently is individuals that are interested in becoming supervisors, or at least think they are and want to learn more about it, so that if a position opens up, they know what it really entails and know that they've got some of those skills under their belt. So, yeah, I could see that really evolving over time into just ongoing, increasing clinical excellence, right?
Yeah, I think a supervisor track is absolutely the next step. You know, we've been hearing about it for a long time. We do have the benefit of the citywide training that we can access. But, you know, we've grown our supervisory ranks a great deal over the last few years. And I think we're getting better and better at understanding what it takes to be a supervisor here. So I could really see us beginning to develop some COAAA-specific supervisory classes.
Yeah, like a whole leadership track. That's super exciting. And it's definitely kind of in the back of our minds as we're thinking, so what does this other version of it look like and how do we implement that?
Yeah, and thinking, you know, I might be an incredible case manager, and I think that my next step and my growth opportunity is to a supervisor. But if I had the opportunity to learn what a supervisor does, I might actually realize that that's not my passion, that's not my strengths, having difficult conversations, doing a lot of reviews and paperwork. And so that information is powerful, not only to help make sure people know which path they're going towards, but also to make sure they have the skills if they choose that path and get there.
Right.
That's a perfect way to say it.
So we've got these 10 sessions and these great topics. Are they all internal speakers? Who are leading these? What does it look like when somebody's in a session?
Well, it's a mix purposefully. We feel like we have amazing clinicians here, as you said, and great knowledge. So we wanted to pull that out. And we asked for volunteers, for folks who might want to do training. That isn't everyone's love. So we do have a mix. And I think we want to lean more and more into that, different modalities of training. One of the things we've thought a lot about is, you know, these are adult learners. And what do adult learners need? And one of the first sessions of COAAA University, and Carrie led this one and I got to watch it, the first question we put out there is, what does an effective training mean to you? So the current class was in the room and they got up together and quickly started working and putting together, this is what it needs to look like. So we're really learning from them as we go. So we're using internal, external. We're going to have a video presentation that's coming up that we're really excited about, with some in-the-room facilitation after the video is played.
All of the trainings are in person, though.
Okay.
And I think that is something from the beginning. That stayed constant. I don't think that'll probably change too much. We really want people in the room together, seeing each other, being in that physical presence. So, for instance, like the film project, which we're super excited about, they'll watch a film with different voices of immigrant and refugee folks living here in Central Ohio.
Very cool.
But afterwards, they're going to discuss that together and talk about how does that impact you as a client-facing person in our agency.
And I think one of the other great things about the cohort is this is a big agency, right? So, you know, we kind of oscillate between 380 and 400 individuals. And so when you come into a new place, if you don't have that automatic cohort built for you, it's kind of hard to find it. But I think what I'm seeing now happening is that whether it's from the orientation or the COAAA University or the new soup group that's going on, those clusters are working and people are meeting for lunch and they're relying on each other when they're going through something. So I think that kind of camaraderie and peer group that comes along with each of these things that we're doing is really important.
Yeah, we really hope. I think it emphasizes that we are COAAA. Again, your day-to-day may be focused on one particular program. You might be stuck on one particular floor, but you have a connection to this agency on a broader level.
Yeah. That reminds me of our four C's that we have. We have, for the COAAA University, we keep talking about these four C's. Actually, they're three C's, but we throw in a fourth sometimes. But
three to four C's.
Yeah, we just keep, you know, more C's. If you have ideas, send them our way.
It has to be alliterative.
Okay.
But competence. Compassion and connection. So the university is meant to really instill all four of those.
Confidence, competence,
compassion, and connection.
Okay.
Right? How cool. All four of them.
I think we could solidly say four now. I'm good with four.
Okay, good.
Which one were you not
connection,
sure of?
Connection was the newer one.
Okay.
When we started, it was about building a confident, competent, compassionate workforce.
Right.
But we do see the connectedness happening. Plus, I think, you know, we're having lots of conversations around here about how important connectedness is going to be. Is already, as we work together across programs, you know, I think about how much, for instance, Aetna right now is working with the SDOH program
yes.
to accomplish some goals, how much our housing team, a very small but mighty housing team, is supporting all of the other programs. We are connected so that we can serve folks. So we want to, we really think COAAA University is about kind of making the values of COAAA kind of come to life.
Mm-hmm. And weaving it throughout every program, every office, every floor, every department, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Got it. That's great. I'm trying to think of another C, of course. The only one that comes to mind is my classic chaos, because I'm sort of,
it's always a little chaos.
Organized.
Chaotic, yeah.
Organized chaos is sort of my vibe.
But we have a little bit of chaos at COAAA because it's iterative, or is that the right word? It's evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a tiny bit of chaos.
Yeah. And I think there has to be, right? Because we can't just continue to do the same thing that we've always done in the same ways, because the environment's changing constantly. And right. So will COAAA University continue to evolve, and what will that look like?
Well, I think one of the cool things, we haven't, I think, talked about it too much yet, is how much we're relying on the people who are coming through the university to help us shape the university.
I love that.
So we told the current cohort, or warned them that they really are going to be part of the development process. So we started with a pretest before any of the programs started to sort of kind of get a gauge of where they were, and we'll have a post-test. But after each program, we're doing an evaluation on each program so they get to respond. So we're gathering information all along. And I think really, you know, by the end of this, or before it officially ends, we'll really say, hey, we're ready to sort of even change what the next group looks like. So tell us what you think was most important. Tell us what you'd be like, I think you can cut that.
Okay.
So they are so important. Their feedback in developing this. So for us, next steps are, we're really already planning the second cohort, which is going to launch in April, right?
Yep.
So the first cohort will be done, or there's some overlap?
There's a little bit of overlap, about just a week of, and the first cohort will have their graduation, and we will have kind of a celebration, and we'll gather some information about how it went, and that'll occur about the same week as we launch second cohort. So okay. We're running a new cohort about every 4 months.
Okay.
So it's a pretty continuous stream of, you know, planning for this cohort, thinking about the next one, and really trying to fine tune it and say, okay, what worked and what needs to change? And, you know, when we wrote the proposal back, I don't know, a while ago, maybe 2 years ago, it was written into the proposal that we expect this to change not only in the first couple of years as we're getting our feet up and running, but also because our staff will change, our needs will change, our programs will change. So we expect for it to always be evolving and growing. And that's really cool. And it helps to keep the bar high for COAAA University. It's not a program that we're saying, this is great, this is done, let's put this on the shelf and just let it flow. It's something that we intend to be interacting with forever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever, never, never.
And I think that puts a little bit of pressure on us,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
It isn't, like she said, it's like, not like, okay, I've checked this off my list, boom. We have to be really responsive, and we have to be prepared to change it all the time. So sometimes, you know, that may not feel great because you're like, oh, it's not settled, it's not done, I need to do better. So it's COAAA University is, I think, top of our minds most days. It's on my, I'm doing that, like, urgent, not important, urgent, important, you know, how you do that matrix. It's often on my list every day as I prepare in the morning for what I need to work on.
Well, and then keep in mind, as you have graduating classes, it's not all on you. I mean, a lot of people here that love being clinical social workers also love education or macro work or advocacy. And so I can also see this growing into a space that a lot of other people are able to contribute and utilize different skills that they have that they might not get to as an APCC or something like that every day.
And that reminds me that Kiri got to work yesterday with our trainers for next week, yep, who are two case managers from Aetna who volunteered to do training. And we had a situation where we had an expert be able to develop the curriculum for training on de-escalation, which is always something that
that's
people
great
need.
Someone
and,
here?
It's an outside expert. And so we contracted with her to develop the curriculum. And she delivered that to us. And then we were able to give it to these case managers who then, you know, took that material. And we said, you know, this is fresh out of the box material. You need to make it your own. And you guys have the COAAA expertise. So if there's something that doesn't feel fit or if it needs a better example. So you got to work with them yesterday.
Yeah, they're talking about just how they're going to train together, and because they haven't done trainings together before. So it's also a really neat opportunity for them to practice that skill.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about how they're going to do that next week, and we're really excited. And that's another way that the trainings are different, is that even if we have internal trainings, some of the internal trainings were created by internal staff, and some of them we're looking to external experts to also say, hey, what do you have to offer to our staff, and what can we, how can we make it our own?
Mm-hmm. Not that you need another track to think about, but I also see an emerging interest and trend around some of that macro social work, mm-hmm, and maybe non-clinical, and thinking about a non-clinical track. And is it some of the analysis that you're doing? Is there, you know, some data training, presentations, advocacy, grant writing, policy? And so, again, as we continue to meet the ever-changing needs that are external, we have been adding additional sort of non-clinical macro roles here because we have to, right? You know, we are more business-minded, and in order to do that, we need some different skills. So I could see that being another area too.
It's a great idea, actually, because we do see that. We see staff who are aligned in that area and sometimes are running projects on their own, and but it would be cool if we could give it a structure.
Yeah.
So just yesterday, I finished my training for some of our MSW student interns, all about operations and macro practice and showing, like, examples of previous metrics that I would work on and how I got the data and how I would present that to our contractors. So it's definitely something that is there. I think folks are interested in it. And I would love to have, you know, little off spurts of the university of, like, hey, come for macro day. So
yeah, definitely. So that reminds me, not only did we get COAAA University up and running this year, but also started a new soup group, so new supervisors that are meeting once a month. Do you want to give us a little overview of that, Erica?
I love the new soup group. So it turned out that we ended up between assessment and SDOH and client services. I think we ended up having 15 supervisors who were within their first or second year of being a supervisor. And they all were uber case managers for the most part, right? They were excellent at doing that. And then they sought the supervision role and were promoted. And that's amazing. But I think as people move into that role, they realize it's a little different than just being an excellent case manager. And what does it look like? And so my desire was really to bring folks around the table to talk about, what does that feel like to you? What are the challenges you're facing? What are the disappointments? What are the unexpected, really cool things, you know, you get to do in the role? And just have that honest conversation, like take a pause and do that. So we've been doing that. We're going to conclude in June. Well, it'll be a year, but it was a year-long process. Every other month, we meet as a group of 15, and on the off months, they meet in smaller groups of four, and they get to do whatever they want in those small groups. Some folks have been really like academic-oriented and reading a book. Others are getting together, like you talked about, Katie, earlier, just to support each other. So I'm really just, I love being with them. I love learning from them. And I don't know that we'll ever have that big of a cohort of new soups again. But we're going to take what they've learned and experienced and try to figure out how to carry that forward. So our meeting that we're trying to schedule for this month will be about building, and Katie was a part of this, the new supervisor toolbox.
Ooh.
So it'll be
a literal toolbox.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be part physical, actually something we can give to new soups, but then it'll also be like, here are the things we think you'll want to go to training-wise or listen to podcast-wise. Or
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
So
I got to attend one because a topic that they selected was how to supervise people that are older than you or that have been in the role longer. And I certainly know a thing or two about that. So it was just a really great group to sit down with, and the trust and vulnerability and authenticity. Those are like my favorite things in working with people. And that was just so obvious in the room. And they even talked about, you know, oh my gosh, it was so great because we talked last month. I was going through something difficult and I wasn't sure how to handle it. And the three of us met for lunch and talked through it. And just that's a really, really cool group. And I think, again, kind of looking toward the future, that soup group becomes a track of COAAA University.
Right.
And then the other amazing thing that we started this year were paid student internships.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that, Carrie?
Sure, yeah. So we started the paid student internships. We've always had student interns. That's a constant goal here at COAAA and belief is, you know, the investment in education. But now we are paying interns, and that's awesome. And as part of that, Lynn Dobb and I have been working on about a 6-week onboarding orientation for our students, where there are, instead of diving right into the program that will be their main focus for their internship, we are calling this kind of an introduction to the aging network. So they're meeting with leadership from across the agency. They're meeting with providers. They're having a provider shadow day. They had a macro day that I was just talking about, where they met with Grant Ames and myself to talk about what it is to do that type of work. So really trying to give them this full lay of the land. And then around the 6th week or 7th week, they'll really start training in their program. But it's really fabulous. And they have interacted with about 14 different people from the agency so far. So they're just like meeting lots of people and having good conversations. And I have to say, the students have given great feedback. They one student had said that she's already applying so much that she's learning in class into the real life. And I was like, yes.
That's so great.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it.
And so historically, we've had student interns before, whether it's in communications or fiscal. And specifically, this cohort that we're launching working are all social workers right. that need their placement hours or internship hours, you might call it. And so historically, and even now in most agencies, those are unpaid placements. And so in order to formalize the paid placement, we're also trying to make it a little bit easier on our staff that are supervising them. And so you've centralized the learning agreement and really created this great outline that everyone will make sure that they're getting to. So not unlike COAAA University, but geared right towards meeting the social work
competencies of their program. Yep.
Yes, yes.
Lynn and I actually went through all of the MSW competencies and said, what does this, you know, because it's a lot of jargon and stuff. So we went through, we said, what do these actually mean and how can we help the field instructors have really quick examples so they can meet these competencies so they have a whole field instructor guide that they can reference. So it's really meant to be a great experience for our students, but also a good and somewhat easy experience for our field instructors as well. So yes. It's not such a heavy lift for them because they're still doing their full-time job, but that they can say, okay, I can do this. And I have this guide that really shepherds me through how to do this well.
Yes.
So it's just super excited about it. And it's great. And I will say both of these projects are very similar in mission and also even in wording. So I'm always like, wait, which one am I talking about? But they're very cool.
It
really
is.
Cool.
And again, we have 250 social workers here, maybe even more. And there aren't, I don't think, any other agencies in Central Ohio that have that many licensed clinicians. And so we owe it to ourselves and to the future for aging and disability services to make sure that we are the place. When someone comes here, yep. it's going to be a great educational experience. We're going to support their whole person. And then if they stay, hooray. If they go somewhere else, that's okay because we know that they're going somewhere taking those skills that they need.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy, we're pretty great.
I know.
Okay, so how does someone get enrolled in COAAA University? Are they automatically? If they're brand new, what does that look like?
Well, basically, I'm stalking them from the second we hire them.
Okay.
So we
don't know, but Erica's watching.
They're on a list. Yeah. We track all the new hires and check in with our handy-dandy friends in HR to make sure we're getting it right. But because it is anyone who's client-facing, so whether that be a new screener, that might be someone in CEO, you know, for instance, if we had someone new who was going to be a new caregiver, support person, anyone who's going to deal with folks on a consumer, client, clinical basis, we want them to come through. So we get them all on a list and sort of track out when a cohort might be full. So this first cohort started out around 16. I think it's, you know, somewhere still right around there. The next one's going to be a tad bit larger. It'll start with like 21.
Oh, wow.
You know, we had a robust hiring year last year.
We did.
So it will probably even out, hopefully, as we don't see ourselves hiring as quickly. But we kind of want to not make it too large because we want folks to feel like they can, it's a safe space when they're in the room. They can talk in the trainings.
Okay. And so they're basically automatically enrolled.
Yep.
And because this is such a focus of our agency, this is not a suggestion. This is a requirement as more education and trainings and those types of things will continue to be here because we need that as our foundation. And we need that as we prepare for the future of what our services might look like. So if someone is interested in participating, who do they talk to? Are people allowed to come in and shadow if they aren't already selected or not yet? And that's okay too, if that's the answer.
Well, I would say to all staff, and we've, you know, put this out here a few times, if there's anyone interested in helping us with the university existing staff, we would love to hear from them.
Absolutely.
You know, because there's lots of opportunities. We've had staff who are doing trainings. We've had staff that have helped develop curriculum, and we've had staff who have reviewed others' curriculum and given us feedback on it. So there's lots of ways to be helpful. So anyone who's interested could probably get directly in touch with Carrie.
Yep.
Like how I'm, you know, shouting you out at my email. But and then in the future, I don't think we're ready for folks just to come in and observe certain classes.
Okay.
But know that in the future, we hope to be in a place where that could happen. I think we'll want to make sure that we really have the content exactly as we want it to be, because then we'll be able to better promote what that particular right. program is. I think we are learning, and I think I already know some of the changes we might need to make in content, and then taking that feedback from the current class. So,
okay. And speaking of feedback, talk to me a little bit, Carrie, about the evaluation. So it looks like each session is evaluated and then the entire experience will be evaluated?
Right. The entire experience is being evaluated on our main goals, which is confidence, competence, and compassion and connection. So it's actually on all four. So that was evaluated in the beginning. How do they feel on a scale? And we'll do that at the end.
Are you Likert scaling it?
Yeah.
I'm all about a Likert scale.
Me too. Love
it. We are. And it's great. We're really excited about that. I'm excited to see the feedback in the end. But at the end of every course, we're also evaluating how was this course? And not so much, we don't want feedback necessarily on the specific trainers. We might be there in the future, but right now we're really looking at feedback was the content good? Was it applicable to your job? Was it delivered in a way that felt interactive and like engaging? And then what's really neat is, and this was at Erica's idea, but when I had the first session with them and I said, what makes a training meaningful? And they gave some really great feedback. Those suggestions are the actual things that are in the eval. So it's a personalized eval for the cohort saying, this is what you said you wanted out of your trainings. Did this training meet it? And we're running with those questions for every evaluation.
That's great. And I'm going to read a couple of things that people have said so far. I like how interactive the classes are, and also hearing good examples on how to better yourself, on how to help members at a day-to-day basis. Very useful and relevant training! And I firmly believe that COAAA University is an amazing concept that shows the dedication and integrity the agency has towards their employees, and I'm eager to be part of the first cohort.
We had to pay the last person to say that one, but no.
Hopefully not much.
No, this was just what we asked early on, how they were feeling, maybe about the third course in. So it's just really exciting feedback.
That's great.
And I do just want to shout them out again to all those first cohort folks out there, to thank them so much for just letting us, you know, fail, or, you know, being open to share the success. They're really cool. I got to be with them now in two different sessions, and just I'm inspired.
Me too. Every day.
Yeah.
It's pretty great around here. I mean, we do such challenging work, and I've talked about that a bazillion times on here, but it's just true. We do hard work. We care about each other. We care about the clients and consumers and the community. And that shows when we're putting so much time and effort and dedication into things like paid internships and creating what that looks like in the new soup groups and COAAA University. So our episode is obviously, you know, about a specific program, whereas sometimes we're talking about, you know, a whole division or assessment or screening. But I do still want to make sure I ask you too for your biggest success or favorite story. And it could be related to COAAA University or it could not. But I just love hearing those, and I love for the listeners to hear those too.
In talking about COAAA University specifically, because I probably would have a million success stories to share about COAAA as a whole, but to me, it's the launch itself. We all know how busy every single one of us is here at this agency. Everyone has probably more work than, you know, any one person can handle. And so carving out the time that it took to really make this happen, from a concept that we all believed in and we kept talking about, to then honing in on this four-person committee, small but mighty committee that was just going to get in a room, because sometimes, you know, we have too many voices at the table. So, you know, it just took us sort of saying, okay, we're going to get to it and we're going to dig in. And that group with Lynn and Tim and Carrie and myself, you know, just stuck to it and worked it out and kept pushing it forward. And so getting to the point of launch was just, I mean, that's what I feel. I'm so happy that we launched it.
Truly, because, you know, there's so many ideas that come up and we're like, oh, you know, yes, we should do that. And it's hard to find the time and so many priorities come up, especially when you're working with a lot of folks in critical need of our services. So these type of initiatives tend to fall back, even though I believe that they are just as important because, you know, they're doing other really vital things for the agency, but they're easy to say, oh, we'll work on this later. But we all kept this a top priority, and I'm really proud to see it off and running.
And you even created a Wes Anderson-inspired film about it.
How did we forget? Yeah, yeah. I have created more than one film in this new position that I'm in, and I feel very lucky for that.
It's always good to have a little creative outlet.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then what about the miracle question? So sometimes we get to this and sometimes we don't, but we've got time today. So what is one thing you would change or add about or to COAAA?
Well, COAAA is always changing, so it's hard to think of something else I'd want to change. But what I want to say is that I believe that the changes that we initiate are all about the betterment of our work environment, the caring for our staff so that we can keep doing the work we're doing in the community. So I think we're always changing, and I think we're always changing with an eye toward being better, stronger, so that we can continue to do the amazing things we're doing.
It's great.
You know, I had a little bit of a less heartwarming answer to that.
I want to hear.
Yeah, I was just going to say better coffee and lunch options around our building.
That's okay. Sometimes nice people say a loop. Garden. Sometimes yeah. people say, you know, monumental things like Erica.
I'm feeling offended on the part of COAAA Perk.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, yes, that was wonderful. COAAA Perk was wonderful. That should be a whole episode.
And you need to shout out your current new restaurant rec.
Oh, yeah. Star Kitchen, just Star 3 Kitchen. Miles up the road.
I just went. It's amazing.
It's good, right?
I love it.
Oh, yeah. That should be a whole podcast on the hidden gems for lunch around here.
That's
lunch
a good gems. Idea. Lois Mann's. We're going to hit that one up for breakfast soon.
Yes.
Yep. So I am actually a fellow Southsider. So I live on the South Side and I work on the South Side of Columbus. So I'm always trying to find the places, hype us up. So the same month we moved to this building, I bought my house on the South Side. So
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just a whole transition.
Okay, your whole life. Well, when I was at Star Kitchen the other day, there were 5 other COAAA people there.
Oh,
so
wow.
And it was bumping. So that thing's going to take off. That's great. All right, and then closing thoughts. What else do you want people to know about COAAA University?
You know, for me, I just could not be more proud to be a part of this initiative, but also of you both, Katie and Erica, and our leadership who has said, yes, let's dedicate the time and resources to this. Something I didn't really answer before, but one of my biggest successes, and well, there's so many in the 10 years, but a year ago, we closed down the Ohio Home Care Waiver that I had been a manager for a couple years. And so this whole last year, I've been transitioning into this new role and working to define it and what is it and how can I really make an impact on the agency. And this work has been so personally meaningful, but I also just get so jazzed on what it can do for us as a whole and truly believe in the people who are here and our mission. And I'm just so thankful to be able to do this and to see it, the students and the staff cohorts, to see us all blossoming. And I'm just so excited for where we're headed.
Me too. Erica, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what I want everyone to know is it's in its first year. We're in our infancy, but we're just ready to take this wherever it needs to go. And so I think that the future's pretty unlimited for, you know, where COAAA University could be in 5 years and 10 years. And Katie, you've talked a lot about this. I think it's also the beginning of the fact that, you know, we have amazing people here, and maybe we're not in the era where people are going to spend 30 years in the same work environment. But wouldn't that be cool if we create this, you know, army of amazing clinicians or folks dedicated to aging and disability or whatever they want to do, that they go out into the world. And I think this is part of that vision.
Yeah. And I, you know, often say like my not so secret hidden agenda is to get people into aging and disability services. And I think this is COAAA University and our dedication to education is keeping them there.
Yeah.
Because while we all have been frontline workers in one way or another, and we're a few steps removed now, the passion of what we do is still dedicated to making sure that individuals in the community get what they need. And so this is a way to pay that forward, right? And to create that ripple effect. Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you both so much for being here, for all of your work, and just appreciate your time.
Thank you, Katie.
I hope now you know something about COAAA University.